What would it take for you to have a wonderful Christmas? I mean, do you know? Your poor husband, is he just out there just trying to find that magic gift that's going to just make it special? Are those poor parents, are they trying to find the means to get you that great big gift that you have hinted for? What's involved in having a great Christmas? Reminds me of the young couple who had been talking about what to give each other for Christmas. And they had settled on buying a parakeet. They love this, buying a parrot. They love this particular parrot. So they went to the pet store and they found this parrot, and they spent a lot of money on this parrot. They brought it home and they put it in the cage, and the pet store owner told them that it definitely talked, but it hadn't said anything. And then one day they heard the parrot say, "Let's kiss. Let's kiss. Let's kiss." And it said nothing else but those two words, "Let's kiss." And they became troubled by it, and they had some people from the church over one day for a dinner, and the parrot was in the cage, and they heard the people in the church heard it say, "Let's kiss. Let's kiss. Let's kiss." And they were troubled by it. They think, what do the people in the church think about us? What must they think about us? They hear this bird saying, "Let's kiss, let's kiss." They must think this is a dirty bird or something, and "Let's kiss." And they were bothered by it. And they had another family in the church say, "We've got a parrot, and he's a spiritual bird. He says, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray." And they said, "If we put our parrot with your parrot, maybe our spiritual bird will help your carnal bird be a better bird." So they came over and they did that. And sure enough, the birds were in the same cage. They were sitting there minding their business. And the carnal bird said, "Let's kiss. Let's kiss. Let's kiss." And the spiritual bird said, "Glory to God, my prayers have been answered." So what is it going to take? Now, Jenny, you know that was funny. What's it going to take for you to have a good Christmas, to have a wonderful Christmas? I want to share with you just a few thoughts. I don't even know what's going on over there. Let's read Scripture, Matthew chapter 2. "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother." Boy, wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall in there? "And fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gold," or they presented unto him gifts, "gold and frankincense and myrrh. and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Notice in this passage the people that are listed. There's wise men. There's Jesus, the King of the Jews, in verse 2. There's King Herod in verse 3. There's the chief priests and scribes in verse 4. And then we find in verse 11 the young child, Jesus, and Mary, his mother. A lot of times this is confused with the manger, and it's not the manger. Jesus has not been just born, and he's not wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's probably around 2 years old. He's not in the stables. He's in a house. He's a young child, and Mary's his mother. And then we have three gifts, not three wise men, that are given. And there's gold that represents his deity, his kingdom as a king. Frankincense that represents his life. Sweet-smelling savor. And then myrrh that is bitter that will represent his death. And then these wise men were warned of God. There's God in verse 12. In a dream that they should not go back to Herod. Herod did not want to come and worship the child. He wanted to come. He was threatened by another king and wanted to annihilate and murder baby Jesus. Someone wrote, "Christmas is the very best time to show what my Savior means to me. I do not know all the Christmas tradition, but to know Christ is my fullest, or to the fullest, is my ambition. If in life I learn to give as he gives, then for sure the world will see that he lives." We will always fall short to measure up to the world's expectation, especially at Christmas time. The world has no clue about what we're celebrating. Office parties around the country, all types of gifts and exchanging gifts, and all types of parties and things along this line. Christmas has been so commercialized, and it can produce feelings for us, the children of God, of maybe failure or even depression, because we cannot compete with a world that's carnal and that's all dealing with carnal amusement. That being said, we shouldn't allow the Christmas season to be marred by feelings of failure on our part. You know, a lot of times I hear people say, "Well, it's going to be a bad Christmas. I can't afford much this year." It's got nothing to do with it. Amen? Not anything to do with it. Now, I know we have children, and I think the gifts, the giving of gifts and the receiving of gifts, we see God so loved the world that he gave, and I don't think it's wrong to give. I think it can become something really wrong if we're not careful, and especially if we give to our children and to our grandchildren, we don't give anything to God. But this is especially true if the failures are dictated to us by self-seeking, Christ-rejecting people. For instance, it's important to give, especially being Christians, because Jesus gave us the example of giving and God gave us the example of giving. I think we're never more like God than when we're forgiving and when we are giving to others. But to give as the world, and when I say that, I mean to seek attention by our giving, or to outgive our rivals, or to give for our own glory, this has nothing to do with the spirit of Christmas or the spirit of Christ. Failure to measure up to the Christian expectations are one thing, but measuring up to the world's expectation is a completely different thing. And we need to understand some biblical steps that can ensure and enable us to overcome the self-indulgence world. Isn't it self-indulgent there'll be children that before they can hardly get the paper ripped off a gift, they'll throw the gift to the side and grab the next one. I certainly didn't grow up like my parents, but they talk about times of when they would have a stocking and there'd be an orange and an apple, and that was their Christmas. Now, they certainly did more than that for us. I think a lot more than that. But I think we hurt our kids and our grandkids when we indulge them where they can't even enjoy a gift for the excitement of what's under the tree next and next and next and next. This is not something children like to hear the preacher preach about, I don't think. But let me give you five quick thoughts on how you can have a wonderful Christmas. Number one, give more than you expect to receive. Give more than you expect to receive. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Bible says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I want to tell you this, that is a true, true, true principle. There is a reward in giving that, and from that, a blessing that nothing else can do. Give more than you expect to receive. I hate the tit for tat giving. Don't you know what I'm talking about? What I'm talking about is, you know, well, the Clicks gave me a Christmas card. Whoop, I better go get them a Christmas card, tit for tat. The Allens didn't give me a Christmas card, so never mind. Don't have to worry about them. You know, the Millers gave me a Christmas card with $20 in it. Hot dog. I give them a Christmas card that says, I love you. But it's amazing. I'm making fun of it and we're laughing about it. But, you know, there is this philosophy of tit for tat. And we should just give with what God puts on our heart. And some of the greatest gifts that I have some in my office that I treasure and I cherish. And you know what? They've been made by hand. There's a couple of ladies in our church who've made some things that hang in my office, and I treasure them. I thank God for them. I know my daughters have received some baby shower gifts that were made by hand. And it may be that finances were a little bit tight, so they did something like that. But I'll tell you something, the quality was, it's incredible. It's amazing what people do like that. We, for a long time, have had a quilt that was given to us many, 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 many years ago. And we've held that quilt. Now, I've had things from automobiles down to quilts or afghans given to us. And listen, where we displease the Lord and we displease ourselves is when we begin to weigh gifts. You know, you've heard it said, it's the gift, it's the thought that counts. And it is. And the smallest gift, the fact that somebody would take time to even think, to go out and to make something. One Christmas years ago, before I came to Bethel, I was an assistant pastor. We were very, very poor, and we had literally little to nothing for our children. And there was a man in our church who I just love today. He was laid off from work, and he had a big shop. He had hot rods and some wood tools, and he had worked, and he had made all of our children some beautiful toys out of wood and brought that over to our house on Christmas Eve night. I'll never forget it. And I looked at that and I said, you made these? And he said, yes. And we were so thrilled with that. But you give more than you expect to receive. Trust the Lord and don't indulge people, but let God lead you in your giving. Be generous to God first. Can I tell you, I would be frightened to go out and to splurge on my grandkids and use God's money to do that. I would. That would be the wrong thing. You hear what I'm saying? Can I tell you this? You are messed up. Let me just tell you, as your preacher, you're messed up in your thinking if you're using God's tithe to party on at Christmas time. And you don't have, listen, you don't have the money God wants you to have if you're not giving to Him. You cannot outgive God. You cannot do it. And there are people who say, well, I've got to do this. I have to do that. There's a lot of people who are watching widescreen TVs and driving nice big pickup trucks and vans and cars and SUVs, and they're using God's money to pay for it. I'm telling you something, God is not pleased with that, and you're not right for God for doing it. Now, I know it's here at Christmas time, but I'm just telling you the truth. Give more than you expect to receive. God gave the example, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. Let me tell you something. He gave more. Did He? His only begotten Son. Secondly, second principle, how to have a wonderful Christmas. Give to someone that you cannot possibly receive anything from. Give to someone who cannot reciprocate your generosity. Give to someone who cannot reciprocate your benevolence. The last few years, Debbie and I have enjoyed going outside of our family and outside of our church family to some people in the community. A couple of years ago, I gave teachers bonuses, and you may not know this, but the bonuses that my wife gets and the salary that my wife gets is least and less than most any other staff member. And we were able to give a decent bonus to staff, but she didn't get a bonus this year. You didn't get a bonus, did you? Yeah. I'll give her a bonus. Let's kiss. But God has provided for us, and God has been good to us in that way. But a couple of years ago, she got a bonus like the other staff members did. And we were in Walmart finishing up, getting some grandkids some things. And we were leaving. We bumped into a couple. They're not in our church. They're not in our family. They're just in our community. And they had that forlorn look. You know what I'm talking about? Where you go up and you look at a dozen eggs and it's not 89 cents. It's $2.89. Or you look at a gallon of milk and you just see. And you're trying to pick and choose. And we bumped into each other. We were rolling out of the store as they were coming in. We talked there at the doorway for a little while. And they said, I've been unemployed a lot this year, and I tell you, we just have nothing for our kids. Yeah, I said our kids in, I told them it's going to be a slim Christmas this year, so let's just be happy with what's provided. And we talked a while, and we were going to our car, and we were putting things in the trunk, and as I'm pushing the grocery cart, is that what it's called? Or is it a buggy? Yeah, that's what I thought. I was thinking, we could give them Debbie's bonus. It's always easier to give somebody else's money than it's my money. See, you marry a girl young so you can bring them up the way you want them, and you teach them what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine too. And I thought we could give them Debbie's bonus and we wouldn't even miss it, really. We really wouldn't even miss it, you know. And we got in the car, and I started to say something to Debbie, but I thought, you know, she worked so hard and she got a bonus this year, and, you know, I'm just not going to, I didn't say anything. And we got home, and she was in the kitchen putting some things away, and I was in the den putting some things away, sitting in my chair. And she comes into the den, and she's crying, and she says, you know, I don't want to upset you or anything, and I know our kids could use this money. Maybe we could use it on grandkids. I know there's probably people in our church that could use this money, but you know, we could give that couple we met at Walmart my bonus, and we wouldn't even miss it. I said, Debbie, that's the exact thought I had at Walmart, but I was afraid to suggest it to you, you know. And we called them, and we said, can you come over? I know this is a little bit different, but can y'all just swing by here for a little bit? And they came over, and I tell you, man, the blessing of giving. And they wept. It wasn't a lot of money. Debbie never gets a big bonus. It wasn't a lot of money. But when they opened the Christmas card and that money was in there, the wife began to cry. And I said, we don't want to offend you or embarrass you. We just love you. And I said, you know, God spoke to me when I was at Walmart. I thought, you know, we could do something along this line. But I didn't say anything. But when we got home, about 30 minutes later, Debbie, 30 minutes later, it took that long for God to deal. You know, Debbie came to me and suggested the same thing. And I said, you know, when God speaks to both of us at the same time about the same thing, we know that's of God. And they rejoiced and give to someone that cannot possibly, that you cannot possibly receive anything, that can you can't benefit from it from them. Matthew 25 says, naked, and Jordan read this morning, and clothed me, I was sick, and you visited me, I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and said unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Do you understand that principle? When Jesus was on the earth, who did he minister to? Harlots. Men with leprosy. Beggars. Full of sores. Crippled. Blind. The unfortunate. These are the sorts of people Jesus came to. And I think we're never more like him than when we give to someone who cannot possibly, that we cannot possibly receive anything back from. Number three, you want to have a wonderful Christmas? Give to someone you find it hard to like. I know that's nobody here. Yeah. I feel a blanket of conviction falling right now. I'm not saying, you know, buy them a year membership at a spa or anything. But I will tell you this, Matthew 5:44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Yeah. Judas comes into the garden. There's a host of soldiers that are with him. He turns to the soldiers and he says, the one that I kiss on the cheek, that one will be Jesus. He came up to Jesus in the midst of the night. He kissed Jesus on the cheek, and Jesus called him friend. You know, there are people who are just difficult. They're hard. They're harsh. They can become nasty and ugly. And most of these people are either or. They're either been indulged all their life or they have had a horrible life and deprived. It's interesting they end up in the same road. But you know what you can do? You can give a small gift and a kind word, an expression of appreciation and affection, and maybe help that person. Love your enemies. Romans 12, verse 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. But not, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't become bitter because of people who are difficult and hard. Give to someone you find it hard to appreciate. Number four, give forgiveness to someone who doesn't deserve it. Luke 23, verse 34 says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. They took the very gift of God and nailed him to the tree and killed him. Now the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they knew exactly what they were doing. But the people followed suit. They didn't know what they were doing. And the last words, some of the last words, some of the last statements on the cross, Jesus said, forgive them. Forgiveness is the greatest gift you'll ever give. Forgiveness is the greatest gift you'll ever receive. And you're never more like Jesus than when you are forgiving someone. Let me tell you this. If someone's hurt you badly, forgive them, because you probably have hurt someone badly too, and you need forgiveness. God said, unless we forgive, we shall not receive forgiveness. He'll not grant forgiveness. So give forgiveness to someone who doesn't deserve it. And by the way, don't call them and say, I want you to know you don't deserve this, but I want to forgive you anyway. I got to say that to some people. I got to make it clear. But between you and God, say, God, this person abused me, misused me, and hurt me, and lied about me. You've been lied about. You've been talked about. Yeah. You know, a lie can be so half-truth that it seems to be real, but let me tell you something, a half-truth is a whole lie still. Forgive that person, even though they don't deserve it. Because I'll tell you something, none of us deserve it. Lastly, give something. Here's a good one. You want to have a wonderful Christmas? You want to have a great Christmas? Give something you'd rather keep for yourself. You know what? I don't give junk. And when I give a gift, it's something that I love. I got to love it. I don't want to give junk. I want to give some. If I give a flashlight, it's not going to be some junky Kmart, Walmart flashlight. It's going to break in 3 weeks. It's going to be something like a Surefire that's bulletproof flashlight. That's what I like. Not that I'm going to shoot it or anything, but I just like it. Give something that you'd rather keep for yourself. Luke 6:36 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You get that? The law of recompense. With that same measure, it's going to be measured. I'm going to tell you something. I've had that so much in my life. That's been overwhelming. So when you get ready to give something that you would like. Now you got to take someone's taste, someone's, you know, this they may not like, you know, orange paisleys all over the place. You know, I mean, you might want to take their that in and mind. And it's okay to go to the sale table, discount table. Dirt cheap, I'm not sure about, you know. Dirt cheap, you buy a turtleneck, and it's got a turtleneck and a sleeve here and a short sleeve on this side. Yeah. Debbie came home with a blouse from Dirt Cheap. She had to spend $3 in thread to sew it up before she could ever wear it. I thought, yeah, she, well, I don't care. It was a good deal. No, it wasn't. You had to fix it. These are just a few ways to ensure, I think, the true meaning of Christmas. To be sure that our Christmas is not lost in this commercialized hustle and bustle today. Now, here are some gifts, a list of gifts you can give that won't cost you a dollar. Let me give them to you. Mend a disagreement. Dismiss suspicion. Tell someone, I love you. Not love you, but I love you. Give something away anonymously. Let them just find it. Someone gave this. Look at this. Wow. Who did this? Nobody knows but me. I know something nobody else knows. Forgive someone who's treated you wrong. Turn away wrath with a soft answer. Visit someone in a nursing home or in the hospital or a children's hospital. Apologize if you've been wrong. Be especially kind to someone with whom you work. Give as God gave to you. How did God give to us? Four ways. God's gift was without obligation. God's gift was without announcement. God's gift was without reservation. And God's gift was without hypocrisy. Someone says, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Let's stand. Matthew 10:39 says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Have a great, merry Christmas. We'll meet Wednesday night, and then on Christmas Day is Sunday. I'm glad we can serve the Lord and worship on the Lord's birthday in his house. And I look forward to that time. Be there tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We'll have a nursery. Brent, put some time and some effort in the meal. Don't stop by Kentucky Fried, but put something together. And let's come together and have a great Christmas party tomorrow night as well. God's people said, amen. Father, we love you. We ask that you would meet our needs. Help us Christians not to lose the meaning of Christmas. Let us not be spoiled in this season by the commercialism and maybe relatives and other people who are just extravagant and indulging their children and others. May God help us to give more than we expect to receive. Help us to give to someone who cannot reciprocate our gift. Help us to give to someone that we may find it hard to appreciate. Lord, help us to give forgiveness to someone who doesn't really deserve it. May we realize that we don't deserve forgiveness from you. And then, God, give us something. Help us to give something of value, something really that we would love to have ourselves. Lord, help us to be Christian in the Christmas season. These are things that should cause us, regardless of our condition, our situations, to have a wonderful Christmas. Bless the invitation. May we take it as a time just to draw nearer to you in our worship and love and desire to draw closer to you. In thy name I pray. You come tonight, would you?